What's going on, everybody? This is Ben from Retro Ben Gaming. With all the craziness happening in the world today, I decided to add a little positivity to it with this podcast. This podcast is going to focus on all things video games, whether it's discussing them, playing them, or just getting them on the cheap. Now, whether you're a PC player or a console player, I believe we all have something to add to this conversation. So I hope you enjoy the podcast, and as always, keep gaming. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I truly appreciate it. I realized today that the last podcast I uploaded was actually a duplicate. It was Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle, and I had uploaded it about a month ago. So I'm going to take that one down, and I decided I'm just going to rush this one out real quick and get it going. I'd planned to wait till the end of the week, but figured to make up for my mistake, we'll do it now. Once again, not a professional. Well, I'm a professional bonehead, but that's about it. So today we are going to talk about a game that I think almost everybody in the world has played. If not, they need to get onto it. That, of course, is Pac-Man. That's right, the little pellet muncher himself. Say what you want about that Pixel movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I enjoyed Pac-Man's cameo, just saying. With all that aside, here we go. Hope you enjoy it. Pac-Man is a 1980 maze action video game developed and released by Namco for arcades. The original Japanese title of Puck-Man was changed to Pac-Man for international releases as a preventative measure against defacement of the arcade machines by changing the P to an F. In North America, the game was released by Midway Manufacturing as part of its licensing agreement with Namco America. The player controls Pac-Man, who must eat all the dots inside an enclosed maze while avoiding four colored ghosts. Eating large flashing dots, called power pellets, causes the ghosts to temporarily turn blue, allowing Pac-Man to eat them for bonus points. Game development began in early 1979, directed by Toru Iwatani, with a nine-man team. Iwatani wanted to create a game that could appeal to women as well as men, because most video games of the time had themes of war or sports. Although the inspiration for the Pac-Man character was the image of a pizza with a slice removed, Iwatani has said he also rounded out the Japanese character for mouth, which is Kuchi. I probably said that wrong, but I'd be shocked and amazed if the Japanese character for mouth is actually Kuchi. Anyway, the in-game characters were made to be cute and colorful to appeal to younger players. The original Japanese title of Puck-Man was derived from the titular character's hockey puck shape and is now the mascot and flagship icon of Bandai Namco Entertainment. Pac-Man was a widespread critical and commercial success, leading to several sequels, merchandise, and two television series, as well as a hit single by Buckner and Garcia. The franchise remains one of the highest-grossing and best-selling games, generating more than $14 billion in revenue as of 2016, and 43 million units in sales combined, and has an enduring commercial and cultural legacy, commonly listed as one of the greatest video games of all time. Pac-Man is an action maze chase video game. The player controls the character through an enclosed maze. The objective of the game is to eat all the dots placed in the maze while avoiding four colored ghosts. Those are Blinky, which is red, Pinky, of course, is pink, Inky is cyan, and Clyde is orange. And they pursue him. When Pac-Man eats all the dots, the player advances to the next level. If Pac-Man contacts a ghost, he will lose a life. The game ends when all lives are lost. Each of the four ghosts have their own unique, distinct artificial intelligence or personalities. Blinky gives direct chase to Pac-Man. Pinky and Inky try to position themselves in front of Pac-Man, usually by cornering him. And Clyde will switch between chasing Pac-Man and fleeing from him. Placed at the four corners of the maze are large flashing energizers or power pellets. Eating these will cause the ghost to turn blue with a dizzied expression and reverse direction. Pac-Man can eat blue ghosts for bonus points. When eaten, their eyes make their way back to the center box in the maze, where the ghosts regenerate and resume their normal activity. Eating multiple blue ghosts in succession increases their point value. After a certain amount of time, blue-colored ghosts will flash white before turning back to their normal lethal form. Eating a certain number of dots in a level will cause a bonus item, usually in the form of a fruit, to appear underneath the center box, which can be eaten for bonus points. Let me just say, you will cross the center of that maze constantly, but the one time that fruit pops up, it is impossible to get to. All the ghosts happen to position themselves. It's very frustrating to get that fruit sometimes. The game increases in difficulty as the player progresses. The ghosts become faster, and the Energizer's effect decreases in duration to the point where the ghosts will no longer turn blue and edible. I've never gotten to that point. To the sides of the maze are two warp tunnels, which allow Pac-Man and the ghost to travel to the opposite side of the screen. Ghosts become slower when entering and exiting these tunnels. Levels are indicated by the fruit icon at the bottom of the screen. In between levels are shortcut scenes featuring Pac-Man and Blinky in humorous, comical situations. The game becomes unplayable at the 256th level due to an integer overflow that affects the game's memory. After acquiring the struggling Japanese division of Atari in 1974, video game developer Namco began producing its own video games in-house, as opposed to simply licensing them from other developers and distributing them in Japan. Company president Masaya Nakamura created a small video game development group within the company and ordered them to study several NEC-produced microcomputers to potentially create new games with. One of the first people assigned to the division was a young 24-year-old employee named Toru Awatani. He created Namco's first video game, GB, in 1978. It could be GB, I'm not sure. Which, while unsuccessful, helped the company gain a stronger foothold in the quickly growing video game industry. He also assisted in the production of two sequels, Bombi and QDQ, both released in 1979. The Japanese video game industry had surged in popularity with games such as Space Invaders and Breakout, which led to the market being flooded with similar titles from other manufacturers in an attempt to cash in on the success. Awatani felt that arcade games only appealed to men for their crude graphics and violence, and that arcades in general were seen as seedy environments. You know, I've been to a couple where that is the appropriate title. For this next project, Awatani chose to create a non-violent, cheerful video game that appealed mostly to women, as he believed that attracting women and couples into arcades would potentially make them appear to be much more family-friendly in tone. Awatani began thinking of things that women like to do in their time. He decided to center his game around eating. Oh boy, big mistake. Basing this on women liking to eat desserts and other sweets. Wow, this guy, he must have been single at the time. His game was initially called Pakuman, based on the Japanese term Paku Paku Tabiru. Didn't get that right. Referencing the mouth movement of opening and closing in succession. The game that later became Pac-Man began developing in early 1979 and took a year and 5 months to complete, the longest ever for a video game up to that point. Awatani enlisted the help of 9 other Namco employees to assist in production, including composer Toshio Kai, programmer Shigeo Funaki, and hardware engineer Shigichi Ishimura. Care was taken to make the game appeal to a non-violent audience, particularly women, with its usage of simple gameplay and cute, attractive character designs. When the game was being developed, Namco was underway with designing Galaxian, while utilizing a then-revolutionary RGB color display, allowing sprites to use several colors at once instead of utilizing colored strips of cellophane that was commonplace at the time. This technology accomplishment allowed Awatani to greatly enhance his game with bright pastel colors, which he felt would help attract players. The idea for Energizers was a concept Awatani borrowed from Popeye the Sailor, a cartoon character that temporarily acquires superhuman strength after eating a can of spinach. It is also believed that Awatani was also partly inspired by a Japanese children's story about a creature that protected children from monsters by devouring them. Frank Fogelman, the co-founder of Gremlin Industries, believes that the maze chase gameplay of Pac-Man was inspired by Sega's Head-On, a similar arcade game that was popular in Japan. Awatani has often claimed that the character of Pac-Man himself was designed after the shape of a pizza with a missing slice while he was at lunch. In a 1986 interview, he said that this was only half true, and that the Pac-Man character was also based on him rounding out and simplifying the Japanese character Kuchi, meaning mouth. The four ghosts were made to be cute, colorful, and appealing, utilizing bright pastel colors and expressive blue eyes. Awatani had used this idea before in Cutie Q, which features similar ghost-like characters, and decided to incorporate it into Pac-Man. He was also inspired by the television series Casper the Friendly Ghost and the manga Obaki no Kyutaro. Ghosts were chosen as the game's main antagonist due to them being used as villainous creatures in animation. The idea of the fruit bonus was based on graphics displayed on slot machines, which often use symbols such as cherries and bells. Originally, Namco president Masaya Nakamura had requested that all ghosts be red and thus indistinguishable from one another. Awatani believed that the ghosts should be different colors, and he received unanimous support from his colleagues for this idea. Each of the ghosts were programmed to have their own distinct personalities to keep the game from becoming too boring or impossibly difficult to play. Each ghost name gives a hint to its strategy for tracking down Pac-Man. Shadow, Blinky, always chases Pac-Man. Speedy, who's Pinky, tries to get ahead of him. Bashful, who's Inky, uses a more complicated strategy to zero in on him. And Pokey, or Clyde, alternates between chasing him and running away. The ghost's Japanese names, translated into English, are Chaser, Ambusher, Fickle, and Stupid, respectively. Jeez. To break up the tension of constantly being pursued, humorous intermissions between Pac-Man and Blinky are added. The sound effects were among the last things added to the game, created by Toshio Kai. In a design session, Awatani noisily ate fruit and made gurgling noises to describe to Kai how he wanted the eating effect to sound. Upon completion, the game was titled Puckman, based on the working title and the titular character's distinct hockey puck-like shape. Location testing for Puckman began on May 22, 1980, in Shibuya, Tokyo, to a relatively positive fanfare from players. A private showing for the game was done in June, followed by a nationwide release in July. Eyeing the game's success in Japan, Namco initialized plans to bring the game to international countries, particularly the United States. Before showing the game to distributors, Namco America made several changes, such as altering the names of the ghost. The biggest of these was the game's title. Executives at Namco were worried that vandals would change the P in Puckman to an F, forming an obscene name. Masaya Nakamura chose to rename it to Pac-Man, as he felt it was closer to the game's original Japanese title of Pac-Man. In Europe, the game was released under both titles, Pac-Man and Puckman. When Namco presented Pac-Man and Rally X to potential distributors in the 1980 AMOA trade show in November, executives believed that Rally X would be the best-selling game of the year. According to Play Meter magazine, both Pac-Man and Rally X received mild attention at the show. Namco had initially approached Atari to distribute Pac-Man, but Atari refused the offer. Midway Manufacturing subsequently agreed to distribute both Pac-Man and Rally X in North America, announcing their acquisition of the manufacturing rights on November 22nd and releasing them in December. Pac-Man was ported to a plethora of home video game systems and personal computers. The most infamous of these is the 1982 Atari 2600 conversion, designed by Todd Frey and published by Atari. This version of the game was widely criticized for its inaccurate portrayal of the arcade version and for its particular design choices, most notably the flickering effect of the ghost. However, it was a commercial success, having sold over 7 million copies. Atari also released versions for the Intellivision, the Commodore VIC-20, Commodore 64, the Apple II, the IBM PC, the TI-99, the ZX Spectrum, and the Atari 8-bit family of computers. A port for the original Atari 5200 was released in 1983, a version that many have seen as a significant improvement over the Atari 2600 version. Namco themselves released a version for the family computer in 1984 as one of the console's first third-party titles, as well as a port for the MSX computer. The Famicom version was later released in North America for the Nintendo Entertainment System by Tengen, a subsidiary of Atari Games. Tengen also produced an unlicensed version of the game in a black cartridge shell, released during a time when Tengen and Nintendo were in bitter disagreements over the latter's stance on quality control for their consoles. This version was later re-released by Namco as an official title in 1993, featuring a new cartridge label and box. The Famicom version was released for the Famicom Disk System in 1990 as a budget title for the Disk Rider kiosk in retail stores. The same year, Namco released a port of Pac-Man for the Game Boy, which allowed for two-player cooperative play via the Game Link cable peripheral. A version for the Game Gear was released a year later, which also enabled support for multiplayer. In celebration of the game's 20th anniversary in 1999, Namco re-released the Game Boy version for the Game Boy Color, bundled with Pack Attack, entitled Pac-Man Special Color Edition. That same year, Namco and SNK co-published a port for the Neo Geo Pocket Color, which came with a circular cross ring that attached to the D-pad to restrict it to four-directional movement. That does not sound fun at all. In 2001, Namco released a port of Pac-Man for various Japanese mobile phones, being one of the company's first mobile game releases. The Famicom version of the game was re-released for the Game Boy Advance in 2004 as part of the Famicom Mini series, released to commemorate the 25th anniversary of the Famicom. This version was also released in North America and Europe under the classic NES series label. Namco Networks released Pac-Man for Brew mobile devices in 2005. The arcade original was released for the Xbox Live Arcade service in 2006, featuring achievements and online leaderboards. In 2009, a version for the iOS device was published. This release was later branded as Pac-Man Plus Tournaments in 2013, featuring new mazes and leaderboards. The NES version was released for the Wii Virtual Console in 2007. A Roku version was released in 2011 alongside a port of the Game Boy release for the 3DS Virtual Console. Pac-Man was one of the four titles released under the Arcade Game Series brand, which was published for the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC in 2016. In 2021, along with Xevious, it was also released by Hamster Corporation for the Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4 as part of the Arcade Archives series, marking the first of two Namco games to be included as part of the series. Pac-Man is included in many Namco compilations, including Namco Museum Volume 1, Namco Museum 64, Namco Museum Battle Collection, Namco Museum DS, Namco Museum Essentials, and Namco Museum Mega Mix. In 1996, it was re-released for arcades as part of Namco Classic Collection Volume 2, alongside Dig Dug, Rally X, and special arrangement remakes of all three titles. Microsoft included Pac-Man in Microsoft Return of Arcade as a way to help attract video game companies to their Windows 95 operating system. Namco released the game in the third volume of Namco History in Japan in 1998. The 2001 Game Boy Advance compilation Pac-Man Collection compiles Pac-Man, Pac-Mania, Pac-Attack, and Pac-Man Arrangement into one cartridge. Pac-Man is also a hidden extra in the arcade game Miss Pac-Man Galaga Class of 1981. A similar cabinet was released in 2005 that featured Pac-Man as the centerpiece. Pac-Man 2 The New Adventures and Pac-Man World 2 have Pac-Man as an unlockable extra. Alongside the Xbox 360 remake of Pac-Man Championship Edition, it was ported to the Nintendo 3DS in 2012 as part of Pac-Man and Galaga Dimensions. The 2010 Wii game Pac-Man Party and its 2011 3DS remake also included Pac-Man as a bonus game, alongside the arcade versions of Dig Dug and Galaga. In 2014, Pac-Man was included in the compilation title Pac-Man Museum for the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and PC, alongside several other Pac-Man games. The NES version is one of 30 games included in the NES Classic Edition. Upon its North American debut at AMOA 1980, the game initially received a mild response. Playmeter magazine previewed the game and called it a cute game which appears to grow on players, something which cute games are not prone to do. They said there's more to the game than at first appears, but criticized the sound as a drawback, saying it's good for a while, then becomes annoying. I can't fault them for that opinion. Upon release, the game exceeded expectations with wide critical and commercial success. When it was first released in Japan, Pac-Man was initially only a modest success. Namco's own Galaxian had quickly outdone the game in popularity due to the predominantly male player base being familiar with its shooting gameplay, as opposed to Pac-Man's cute character and maze chase theme. Pac-Man eventually became very successful in Japan, where it went on to be Japan's highest-grossing arcade game of 1980 according to the annual Game Machine charts, dethroning Space Invaders, which had topped the annual charts for 2 years in a row, and leading to a shift in the Japanese market away from space shooters towards action games featuring comical characters. Pac-Man was also Japan's fourth highest-grossing arcade game of 1981. In North America, Midway had limited expectations prior to release, initially manufacturing 5,000 units for the US, before it caught on immediately upon release there. Some arcades purchased entire rows of Pac-Man cabinets. It soon became a nationwide success. Upon release in 1980, it was earning about $8.1 million per week in the United States. Within 1 year, more than 100,000 arcade units had been sold, which grossed more than $1 billion in quarters. It overtook Atari's Asteroids as the best-selling arcade game in the country, and surpassed the film Star Wars A New Hope with more than $1 billion in revenue. Pac-Man was America's highest-grossing arcade game of 1981 and second-highest game of 1982. By 1982, it was established to have had 30 million active players across the United States. The game's success was partially driven by its popularity among female audiences, becoming the first commercial video game to involve large numbers of women as players, according to Midway's Stan Jaraki. The Pac-Man being the favorite coin-op game among female players through 1982. Among the 9 arcade games covered by How to Win Video Games, Pac-Man was the only one with females accounting for a majority of players. The number of arcade units sold had tripled to 400,000 by 1982, receiving an estimated total of between 7 billion coins and 6 billion. In a 1983 interview, Nakamura said that though he did expect Pac-Man to be successful, I never thought it would be this big. Pac-Man is the best-selling arcade game of all time, surpassing Space Invaders, with total estimated earnings ranging from $10 billion to $6 billion in arcades. Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man also topped the U.S. Replay Cocktail Arcade Cabinet charts for 23 months, from February 1982 through 1983, up until February 1984. The Atari 2600 version of the game sold over 8 million copies, making it the console's best-selling title. In addition, Coleco's tabletop mini arcade unit sold over 1.5 million units in 1982. The Pac-Man Nelsonic Game Watch sold more than 500,000 units the same year. The Family Computer version and its 2004 Gameplay Advance re-release sold a combined 600,000 copies in Japan. The Atari 5200 version sold 35,000 cartridges between 1986 and 1988. The Atari XE computer version sold 42,000 copies in 1986 and 1990. Thunder Mountain's 1986 budget release for home computers received a Diamond certification from the Software Publishers Association in 1989 for selling over 500,000 copies. And mobile phone ports have sold over 30 million paid downloads as of 2010. Two Computing also listed the Atari Soft Port 10th on the magazine's list of top Apple II games as of late 1985, based on sales and market share data. As of 2016, all versions of Pac-Man are estimated to have grossed a total of more than $12 billion in revenue. Pac-Man was awarded Best Commercial Arcade Game in the 1982 Arcade Awards. Pac-Man also won the Video Software Dealers Association's Award for Best Video Game. In 2001, Pac-Man was voted the greatest video game of all time by Dixon's Poll in the UK. The Killer List of Video Games listed Pac-Man as the most popular game of all time. The list aggregator site Play That Game currently ranks Pac-Man as the 53rd top game of all time and game of the year. Pac-Man is considered by many to be one of the most influential video games of all time. The game established the maze chase game genre, the first video game with power-ups, and the individual ghost have deterministic artificial intelligence that reacts to player actions. Pac-Man is considered one of the first video games to have demonstrated the potential of characters in the medium. Its title character was the first original gaming mascot. It increased the appeal of video games with female audiences, and it was gaming's first broad licensing success. It is often cited as the first game with cutscenes in the form of brief comical interludes about Pac-Man and Blinky chasing each other, though actually Space Invaders Part 2 employed a similar style of between-level intermissions in 1979. Take that. Pac-Man was a turning point for the arcade video game industry, which had previously been dominated by space shoot-em-ups since Space Invaders. Pac-Man popularized a genre of character-led action games, leading to a wave of character action games involving playing characters in 1981, such as Nintendo's prototypical platform game Donkey Kong, Konami's Frogger, and Universal Entertainment's Ladybug. Pac-Man was one of the first popular non-shooting action games, defining key elements of the genre, such as parallel visual processing, which requires simultaneously keeping track of multiple entities, including the player's location, the enemies, and the energizers. Maze chase games exploded on home computers after the release of Pac-Man. Some of them appeared before official ports and garnered more attention with consumers and sometimes lawyers as a result. These included Taxman and Sneak Attack for the Apple II, Jawbreaker for the Atari 8-bit family, Scarfman for the TRS-80, and KC Munchkin for the Odyssey 2. Namco themselves produced several other maze chase games, including Rally X, Dig Dug, Xvania, and Tinkle Pit. That's right, Tinkle Pit. Atari sued Philips for creating KC Munchkin in the case Atari Inc. versus North American Philips Consumer Electronics Corporation, leading to Munchkin being pulled from store shelves under court order. No major competitors emerged to challenge Pac-Man in the maze chase subgenre. Pac-Man also inspired 3D variants of the concept, such as Monster Maze, Spectre, and early first-person shooters such as MIDI Maze. John Romero credited Pac-Man as the game that had the biggest influence on his career. Wolfenstein 3D includes a Pac-Man level from a first-person perspective. Many post-Pac-Man titles include power-ups that briefly turn the tables on the enemy. The game's artificial intelligence inspired programmers who later worked for companies like Bethesda. Guinness World Records has awarded the Pac-Man series 8 records, including most successful coin-operated game. On June 3, 2010, at the NLGD Festival of Games, the game's creator, Toru Iwatani, officially received a certificate from Guinness World Records for Pac-Man having had the most coin-operated arcade machines installed worldwide, 293,822. The record was set and recognized in 2005 and mentioned in the Guinness World Records Gamers Editions 2008, but finally actually awarded in 2010. In 2009, Guinness World Records listed Pac-Man as the most recognized video game character in the United States, recognized by 94% of the population, above Mario, who was recognized by 93% of the population. The Pac-Man character and game series became an icon of video game culture during the 1980s. The game has inspired various real-life recreations involving real people or robots. One event called Pac-Manhattan set a Guinness World Record for largest Pac-Man game in 2004. The business term Pac-Man Defense in mergers and acquisitions refers to a hostile takeover target that attempts to reverse the situation and instead acquires its attempted acquirer, a reference to Pac-Man's energizers. The Pac-Man renormalization is named after a cosmetic resemblance to the character in the mathematical study of the Mandelbrot set. You'll know what that is. The game's popularity has also led to Pac-Man being adopted as a nickname, such as by boxer Manny Pacquiao and the American football player Adam Jones. Pac-Man Jones? On August 21st, 2016, in the 2016 Summer Olympics closing ceremony, during a video which showcases Tokyo as the host of the 2020 Summer Olympics, a small segment shows Pac-Man and the ghost racing and eating dots on a running track. A wide variety of Pac-Man merchandise have been marketed with the character's image. By 1982, Midway had about 95 to 105 licenses selling Pac-Man merchandise, including major companies such as AT&T selling a Pac-Man phone. There were more than 500 Pac-Man-related products. Pac-Man-themed merchandise sales had exceeded $1 billion in the U.S. by 1982. Pac-Man-related merchandise products included bumper stickers, jewelry, accessories, bicycles, breakfast cereals, popsicles, t-shirts, toys, handheld electronic game imitations, and pasta. The Pac-Man animated television series produced by Hanna-Barbera aired on ABC from 1982 to 1983. It was the highest-rated Saturday morning cartoon show in the U.S. during late 1982. A computer-generated animated series titled Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures aired on Disney XD in June 2013. The Buckner and Garcia song Pac-Man Fever went on to number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 charts and received a gold certificate for more than 1 million records sold by 1982, and a total of 2.5 million copies sold as of 2008. More than 1 million copies of the group's Pac-Man Fever album was sold. In 1982, Weird Al Yankovic recorded a parody of Taxman by the Beatles as Pac-Man. It was eventually released in 2017 as part of the Squeezebox, the complete works of Weird Al Yankovic. In 1992, Aphex Twin, with the name Power Pill, released Pac-Man, a techno album which consists mostly of samples from the game. That sounds terrible. On July 20, 2020, Gorillaz and Schoolboy Q released the track entitled Pac-Man as a part of Gorillaz' Song Machine series to commemorate the game's 40th anniversary, with the music video depicting the band's frontman, 2D, playing a Gorillaz-themed Pac-Man arcade game. The Pac-Man character appears in the film Pixels, which I love that film, with Dennis Akiyama playing series creator Tora Atawana. Atawana makes a cameo at the beginning of the film as an arcade technician. Pac-Man is referenced and makes an appearance in the 2017 film Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. The game, the character, and the ghost all appear in the film Wreck-It Ralph, as well as the sequel Ralph Breaks the Internet. In Sword Art Online, the movie, Ordinal Scale, where Kirito, I have no clue what Sword Art, and his friends beat a virtual reality game called Pac-Man 2024. In the Japanese tokusatsu film Kamen Rider Heisei Generations, Dr. Pac-Man versus X-Aid and Ghost with Legend Riders, a Pac-Man-like character is the main villain. Oh my gosh, those titles. That's insane. Too long. In 2018 film Relaxer uses Pac-Man as a strong plot element in the story of a 1999 couch-bound man who attempts to beat the game, encounters the famous level 256 glitch before the year 2000 problem occurs. In 2008, a feature film based on the game was in development. In 1982, Milton Bradley released a board game based on Pac-Man. Players move up to four Pac-Man characters, traditionally yellow plus red, green, and blue, plus two ghosts as per the throw of a dice. The two ghost pieces are randomly packed with one of four colors. Sticker manufacturer Fleer included rub-off game cards with its Pac-Man stickers. The card package contains a Pac-Man-style maze with all points along the path hidden with opaque coverings. From the start position, the players move around the maze while scratching off the covers to score points. A Pac-Man-themed downloadable content package for Minecraft was released in 2020 in commemoration for the game's 40th anniversary. This pack introduced a new ghost called Creepy, based on the Creeper. A perfect score of the original Pac-Man arcade game is 3,333,360 points, achieved when the player obtains a maximum score on the first 255 levels by eating every dot, energizer, fruit, and blue ghost without losing a man, then uses all six men to obtain the maximum possible number of points on level 256. The first person to achieve a publicly witnessed and verified perfect score without manipulating the game's hardware to freeze play was Billy Mitchell, I don't know about that, who performed the feat on July 3, 1999. Some record-keeping organizations removed Mitchell's score after a 2018 investigation by Twin Galaxies concluded that two unrelated Donkey Kong score performances submitted by Mitchell had not used an unmodified original circuit board. As of July 2020, seven other gamers have achieved perfect Pac-Man scores on original arcade hardware. The world record for the fastest completion of a perfect score, according to Twin Galaxies, is currently held by David Race with a time of 3 hours, 28 minutes, 49 seconds. I just want to say this is off topic. Well, kind of it's not off topic, actually. But when it comes to Billy Mitchell and Twin Galaxies, everything they say, you need to take it with a grain of salt. And that's on both sides of that argument. In December 1982, 8-year-old boy Jeffrey R. Lee received a letter from United States President Ronald Reagan congratulating him on a world record score of 6,131,940 points, possible only if he had passed level 256. In September 1983, Walter Day, chief scorekeeper at Twin Galaxies at the time, took the U.S. National Video Game Team on a tour of the East Coast to visit gamers who claimed the ability to pass that level. None demonstrated such an ability, because they're all liars. In 1994, Billy Mitchell offered 100,000 to anyone who could pass level 256 before June 1st, 2000. The offer expired with the prize unclaimed. After announcing in 2018 that it would no longer recognize the first perfect score on Pac-Man, Guinness World Records reversed that decision and reinstated Billy Mitchell's 1999 performance on June 18, 2020. Not a good decision in my book. Pac-Man inspired a long series of sequels, remakes, and reimaginings, and is one of the longest-running video game franchises in history. The first of these was Mrs. Pac-Man, developed by the American-based General Computer Corporation and published by Midway in 1982. The character's gender was changed to female in response to Pac-Man's popularity with women, with new mazes, moving bonus items, and faster gameplay being implemented to increase its appeal. Ms. Pac-Man is one of the best-selling arcade games in North America, where Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man have become the most successful machines in the history of the amusement arcade industry. Legal concerns raised over who owned the game caused Ms. Pac-Man to become owned by Namco, who assisted in production of the game. Ms. Pac-Man inspired its own line of remakes, including Ms. Pac-Man Maze Madness and Ms. Pac-Man Quest for the Golden Maze, and is also included in many Namco and Pac-Man collections for consoles. Namco's own follow-up to the original was Super Pac-Man, released in 1982. This was followed by the Japan-exclusive Pac-N-Pal in 1983. Midway produced many other Pac-Man sequels during the early 1980s, including Pac-Man Plus, Junior Pac-Man, Baby Pac-Man, and Professor Pac-Man. Other games include the isometric Pac-Mania, the side-scrollers Pac-Land, Hello Pac-Man, and Pac-In-Time, the 3D platformer Pac-Man World, and the puzzle games Pac-Attack and Pac-Pix. Awatani designed Pac-Land and Pac-Mania, both of which remain his favorite games in the series. Pac-Man Championship Edition, published for the Xbox 360 in 2007, was Awatani's final game before leaving the company. Its neon visuals and fast-paced gameplay are met with acclaim, leading to the creation of Pac-Man Championship Edition DX and Pac-Man Championship Edition 2. Coleco's tabletop mini-arcade version of the game yielded 1.5 million units sold in 1982. Nelsonic Industries produced a Pac-Man LCD wristwatch with a simplified maze also in 1982. Namco Networks sold a downloadable Windows PC version of Pac-Man in 2009, which also includes an enhanced mode which replaces all the original sprites with the sprites from Pac-Man Championship Edition. Namco Networks made a downloadable bundle which includes its PC version of Pac-Man and its port of Dig Dug called Namco All-Stars Pac-Man and Dig Dug. In 2010, Namco Bandai announced the release of the game on Windows Phone 7 as an Xbox Live game. For the weekend of May 21st through 23rd, 2010, Google changed the logo of its homepage to a playable version of the game in recognition of the 30th anniversary of the game's release. The Google Doodle version of Pac-Man was estimated to have been played by more than 1 billion people worldwide in 2010, so Google later gave the game its own page. In April 2011, Soap Creative published World's Biggest Pac-Man, working together with Microsoft and Namco Bandai to celebrate Pac-Man's 30th anniversary. It is a multiplayer browser-based game with user-created interlocking mazes. For April Fool's Day in 2017, Google created a playable game on Google Maps where users were able to play the game using the map on screen. So there you have it. Lots of versions have been released on multiple platforms and phones and everything else you can think of. I know as a child, I enjoyed Pac-Man. I never was good enough to get out of the first stage in all reality. I only achieved that as an adult. My problem was I would do a mad dash to all the Energizer power pills and use those up as quickly as I could and only really collect the dots that were in and around them. So I kind of screwed myself. You know, it wasn't until I got older and semi-wiser that I realized, oh, you need to play that one out and let those things, you know, hang to the very end if you need to. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoy this history of Pac-Man. I sure did. It makes me want to play a bunch of other versions of Pac-Man that are out there that I've never actually played. If you guys enjoy this, please share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with whoever you want. And as always, I will have a video of my playthrough of Pac-Man up on my YouTube channel this week. I hope you guys have a great week. Be good people, be good to yourself, and as always, keep on gaming. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please take a second to subscribe. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can. at retrobendgaming@gmail.com. Thanks again, and as always, keep gaming.